The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this May 1st, 2022. And the title of the message tonight is Laws for Ruling the Nation. Laws for Ruling the Nation. And we're going to take a look starting over in Deuteronomy chapter 16. Now here, as we go through here, we're going to see that these verses are anticipating a kind of a really great problem that the Israelites would face when they arrived in the Promised Land. Although they had Joshua as their national leader, they failed to complete the task and chose their spiritual leader who would guide the tribes and districts and cities with justice and God's wisdom. Because they did not appoint wise judges and faithful administrators, rebellion and injustice plagued their communities. Now, it's a very serious responsibility, and God is immutable. He's the same today, tomorrow, and forever. He doesn't change. And here we have the very same responsibility to vet and to pick righteous people and do exactly the way he says here. As we go through Scripture, we're going to find out exactly what kind of people God has told us to choose as our leaders. Now, we're going to start in verse 16. Three times in a year shall all the males appear before the Lord thy God, in a place which he shall choose, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and in the Feast of Weeks, and in the Feast of Tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty. For every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. Now, here, see, God knows exactly, what you could go, what you should give, okay? And here, today, for example, there's a church in our area that actually wants to see your 1049 forms or whatever from the IRS to see how much money you've made. And then they expect you to give 10% of that. Now, that is not up to one of these prosperity churches to do that. That is not none of their business. And that's between you and God. And so God knows what you should give, and he knows your heart. He knows not only what you should give, but why you're giving it and your intentions. And for these churches to do that, boy, I'm going to tell you, that is a very, very sinful act in my way of looking at it. It's not up to them. They're out of their place to do such a thing. Now, here, again, the three times a year the male was to make that journey to this to the sanctuary in a city that would be designated as Israel's religious capital. It wasn't always the same. It changed from city to city, from year to year. And so, and again, God would look upon the hearts of men. Now, judges and officers shall thou make thee in all thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee, throughout the tribes, and they shall judge the people with justice, with and just judgment. Thou shalt not rest. Okay, now that word rest there actually means to pervert. They should not pervert judgment. They should not rest judgment. Thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift. He's talking about briberies and what's happening today. Boy, do we see that happening today. For a gift doth blind the eyes of the wise and pervert the words of the righteous. That which is altogether just shall not thou follow. And thou knowest that thou mayest live and inherit the land in which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not plant thee a grove of any trees unto the altar of the Lord thy God, which thou shalt make thee. Neither shalt thou set thee up an image which the Lord thy God hateth. And now here he's making another very, very clear point. And so when you take, and today what we've seen, just think about this for a minute, folks. Harry Truman said it, and I'll probably repeat this as I go through this, but Harry Truman said it. He said, any time a politician goes into public office and gets rich while he's in office, whether that's in Congress or a governor or a senator, Harry Truman, he said, you can bet that person is a crook. And that's exactly what's happening today. We see what is happening with Joe Obama Biden and the whole Biden crime cartel. Folks, when he gives $85 billion worth of military equipment to the Taliban, don't think that he's not getting something back for doing that. These people don't do anything for not. That's taking a big risk what he did. But the money finds a way of coming back. We know about all the crooked dealings he had in the Ukraine. The big guy gets 10% off the top. He wants 10% off the top. When we take a look and by the way, don't think that when Biden cut our energy, when he cut our supplies of gas and oil, and don't think that he wasn't getting rich by doing that. Other countries are enemies, like Russia and China, were willing to pay big, big money for them to cut off our energy supplies. We saw when the Clintons, when they sold 25% of our known uranium stock, 25% to the Russians, don't think that they weren't getting rich doing that. And by the way, now the Russians are threatening to use nuclear bombs on us. And so here, judges and officers thou shalt make thee in all thy gates, which the Lord thy God giveth thee throughout the tribes. They shall judge the people with just judgment, just. Thou shalt not rest judgment. Thou shalt not respect persons. Now, the Bible tells you that for you to respect the wicked, to honor the wicked, over in Proverbs chapter 24, for those that honor a wicked person, he should be cursed. Be cursed. It's a terrible sin to honor a wicked person. And as we go through Scripture, we'll see here. And so he says, thou shalt not rest the judgment, thou shalt not respect persons, neither take a gift, for that does blind the eyes of the wise. And so here, and when you get down to the last part of this, where he's saying, Thou shalt not plant thee a grove of any trees near unto the altar of the Lord, thy God, which thou maketh thee. Neither shall thou set up thee an image with the Lord of thy God. He's talking about idolatry. He's talking about, you know, the groves, where they would plant the groves of trees where the shade is good to sacrifice their children. It was a wicked, wicked thing. Now, here, where does it all start? Well, it starts in the church. Well, the lessons we have to learn starts in the church. In this country, America, America's in big trouble right now. I mean, she's in very big trouble. And what I'm telling you, and I've told this before, Biden and the Biden crime family has been breaking in, bringing into this country hundreds and thousands of men who are of age, military age, of fighting age. These guys are disappearing. He's bringing them in. He's not bringing them in there because he wants them to have a good life. He's bringing them in there for a reason. They're going to be sleepers. The plan of it is to have those people there to, when the command is given, they'll start burning cities. They'll do whatever they can in order for him to be able to declare martial law and bring in UN troops into this country. That's what's happening. You better understand that. We're telling you. Remember, we're always telling you things way in advance. And so here, this is why it's so very important. We can beat them, but we have to do it from the bottom up. We have to do it. We have to get organized and get our people in the right places, our resistance. That's not elective. We are required by God's word, the Bible, to resist tyranny and to death. And so here, it starts, like I said, in the church, where God's word, the King James Bible, reigns as paramount, where men are taught to submit unto the Lord, and wives to submit unto their husbands, and children unto their parents. So it starts in the church, where the parents, the families, are taught to what God's word, the Bible, teaches. Remember, marriage in the family was the very first divine institution that God gave us. And so here, if we go over to Ephesians chapter 22, and do you know what? I'm going to have to sneak over here and grab a bottle of water here, because I'm getting a little hoarse. And I just happen to have one over here within reaching distance. And so, in Ephesians chapter 5, starting with verse 22, we read, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be unto their own husbands in everything. And husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having or spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy, without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of the body, of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and the two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband." Well, we find that men who submit unto the Lord are much more likely to have wives that are obedient and submit unto them. And likewise, the children submit to their parents if they're godly parents. He goes on, husbands are to put the needs of their wives and children before their own. Husbands and wives are not to deny each other in the bedroom. That's one thing that the Bible makes very clear, is that you become that one flesh. And, you know, when it comes to sex, you are not to deny the husband, the wife, or the wife, the husband, in the bed. And here, that is the cause of a lot of divorce, because of that. Often, more often than not, the wives will use that is the sex as a tool, maybe as a tool, or even, I should say, probably a weapon against her husband, which is wrong. It's a sin to do that. Yeah, I remember when I was some years ago, it used to be a common joke that the guys would say, "Well, do you have your bottle of aspirins and to take home?" And so what they would do is they would take a bottle of aspirin home and give it to their wife, and she'd say, "Well, what's that for?" And he'd say, "That's for that headache, to get rid of before you get it." Okay, but anyhow, again, at one time, that was one of the main reasons for divorce. Now today, it's infidelity. Infidelity has taken first place for divorce. And why? Well, today you have things like open marriage, and this trend, this new trend called hot wives, which are wives that are promiscuous, and it's like it's acceptable. And of course, another one of the reasons for divorce today, and my gosh, there's so many. And you know what? In the church, it's hardly any difference in the church than it is in the world when it comes to divorce. Now, why is that? Well, it's because of people being unequally yoked often, too. Often you have people, believers, that are unequally yoked to non-believers. And when I marry somebody, I have counseling. We have like three counseling sessions, and I want to make sure that it's very, very clear to them. And I know people at times, and they'll tell you, "Well, yeah, I received Christ as my Savior," and even though you have a lot of reasons to doubt them, since, you know, as a pastor, you can't look upon their heart. Okay, it's the same thing where it comes and they make a profession, they ask you to baptize, and they want to be baptized. And of course, we ask them, what does baptism mean to you? Why do you want to be baptized? And if they give the right answers, even though you have doubts about their salvation, you're required to baptize them. And it's the same thing when they come to you and you counsel them for marriage, and they answer, they say the right things. Again, even though you have doubts, you know, I cannot look upon the hearts of people. And so I counsel them to the best, and I warn them too. And so here today, again, money again has always been a problem. When you find how strong the marriage is, when money pops up, money problems pop up. But here just recently with this hot wife thing and these open marriages, there was these young women, these college-age women, who they had a beef. They were said that they were sold a false bill of goods, that they were told that there was no more stigma, that women were every bit as sexually liberated as men, and that women could have as many partners as they wanted before marriage, and that would not affect their marriage, okay? Well, they're finding out that what happens is when those men that they're engaged to, start finding out all of these men, other men that they slept with. And that happens, like, when they'll go someplace, they'll be out there, and a guy will be out there with his fiance, and all of a sudden they'll run into a couple, and the guy's waving at her, winking, and what happens? Who's that? What's he doing? When the guys find out that these women have been sleeping with so many different men, that they consider them to be soiled merchandise. And so now these women are complaining that, well, they were sold a false bill of goods, and they were told, you know, there is such a thing as common sense. There is such a thing as common sense. And you have preachers like me on the radio every single day of the week, and they're preaching out against that. The Bible clearly teaches that sex is restrained, and sex to the marriage bed. And you say you have sex to have children, to procreate. And again, sex is for a husband and a wife. And so you say, well, why is it the men could do it? Well, you see, they don't get away with anything. God knows everything. Believe me. And I remember years ago when a man teacher in a public school or any school, if he was caught with a young female student, why, they would bring the hammer down on him. He was going to prison. 15 would give you 20. Big time. But it was different then when a young female teacher would be caught with one of her students, especially a high school student. It kind of just went away. It kind of went away. And why is that? Well, you would find out that, you know, it would be, I remember as a young man, okay, if you were in those days called lucky enough to be able to sleep with a pretty young teacher, while all the men there at work, where your dad worked or wherever, they would pat you on the shoulder and say, way to go. And that was more like a badge of honor that you were able to have sex with this pretty woman. But today, it's not that way anymore. And see, and that's why the stigma, these young things have changed quite a bit. And these women couldn't figure out. They have not been able to figure out that there are differences between men and women, and you can believe whatever you want. But when reality sets in, then you're often in for a very rude awakening. And so here now, I want to go over to, oh, by the way, too, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on earth. Now, you have to understand, he's not just talking about siblings, or he's not talking about children as far as, he's talking about the adult children of parents too. In other words, even as adult parents in the Old Testament, adult children of parents, if they dishonored and they were to their parents, and they were often stoned to death for being that, and for not being obedient to their parents, especially when they did something that would brought dishonor or shame into their parents. Now, I want to go over here too, very quickly, to Proverbs. In Proverbs chapter 29, and in verse 2, and we read here, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Well, here, we happen to live in a time, believe me, in America, the righteous are not in authority. The people are mourning. They're mourning a lot. They mourn when they go to the gas pump. the morning when they go to the grocery store. They don't understand. Well, here, the people, you know, we had rulers that were not obedient to the word of God. They gave in. They took bribes. I can tell you this, that here, the reason things are as bad as they are in this country and getting worse, we have wicked people. Joe Biden did not win that election. He did not win. This morning, I listened to a very wicked old man, Joe Biden, and he was addressing the White House press corps and the national media. Now, these are professional folks. These are professional liars. That is the absolute truth. They are contracted to lie. They have a contract, of course. Again, they don't refer to them as lies. They're contracted to go whatever they call. They use the term narrative. And that word narrative turns out to be whatever lie those at the top of the collective have come up with. The media will follow along. The echo chamber will start. And they actually, and I heard them say this. I heard, and they said, if we all say the same thing at the same time, people will believe us. If we all say the same thing at the same time, people will believe us. Now, Joe Biden did not win an election. Joe Biden stole an election. That's reality. That's the truth. Most of the country knows that. And here, folks, if Donald Trump was still in office, if the people had done what they should have done, if Mike Pence had done what he should have done and said, I cannot certify this election because right in front of me stand senators and congressmen with all kinds of evidence that this election was illegal, that it was stolen. That's what he should have just done. He had an obligation to do that, but he failed. He failed the people. He failed God, country. He failed all of us, and himself too, when he gave in, when he submitted to the pressure of the deep state. And that's why we have, Donald Trump didn't lose that election. He had millions more votes than Biden. But it was set up, the deep state, and those in the media were there to carry that lie, to promote that lie, to back up the deep state, to take Donald Trump down. Now, what's happening across the country, people are starting back at the grassroots. They're getting on school boards. They're getting to be county commissioners. They're going to be county prosecutors, judges. It's late. But they're feeling the hurt. They're seeing, they learned what was happening to their children. And here, a lot of these parents didn't realize that their children were being taught to hate them. Their children were being taught under this critical race theory to say, well, because I'm white, I should be ashamed of being white. And it's not my fault. It's my parents' fault that I'm white. And I should apologize. Well, no. Here he says in this, in verse 4, Proverbs 29, the king by judgment establishes the land, but he that receiveth gifts overthrow it. And that's exactly what's happening. We have a very corrupt and a very illegitimate government. A very corrupt and very illegitimate. Now, I want to take you back to Deuteronomy 17. And back in Deuteronomy 17, I want to start with verse 14 and read it right through verse 20. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shall possess it, and shall dwell therein, and shall say, I will set a king over me, like as all the nations, that are about me. Well, remember, the Lord prophesied this way, way, way before this took place, okay? Before Saul come along and Samuel. And so this was prophesied way before that. Now, he goes on to say, thou shalt in any wise set him king over thee, whom the Lord thy God shall choose, one from among the brethren. Now, that's a very important statement. One from among the brethren shall set king over thee. Thou mayest not set a stranger over thee, which is not thy brother. But he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt, to the end that he should multiply horses. For as much as the Lord hath said unto you, you shall henceforth return no more that way. Neither shall he multiply wives to himself, that his heart shall turn away. Neither shall he greatly multiply to himself silver and gold. And it shall be that when he setteth upon the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write him a copy of the law in a book, out of that which is before the priests and the Levites. And it shall be with him, and it shall read therein all the days of his life, that he may learn to fear the Lord thy God, and to keep all the words of the law and the statutes to do them, that his heart not be lifted up above his brethren, and that he turn not aside from the commandment to the right hand or to the left, to the end that he may prolong his days in his kingdom, and he and his children in the midst of Israel. Now, here, we, and those of you out there that are listening to me, if you're Christians, you are to choose fellow Christians to be your leaders. You're not likely, real Christians, not just professing Christians, and this is where it comes in. You know people like Obama, like Biden. You know that he tells you he professes to be a Christian, but at the same time he wants more abortion, he wants more sodomy, he wants more pedophilia, and I truly believe that that man is a pedophile himself. I have no doubts, okay? Everything that God's word, the Bible, calls sin, everything with corruption, he embraces, and yet he calls himself a Christian. Well, you've got to be pretty dense. You've got to be pretty dense. And by the way, if it's a sin, it's a sin, not just for Christians, but it's a sin for anybody to vote for a man like him. That's what it tells you over in Proverbs 24, starting with verse 18. It says that those that call the wicked righteous, that they should be cursed for doing such a thing. And so we are to find real Christian people that have a real, and we have some running for senators out there today. I think Josh Mandel has a good testimony. I think that Senator Josh from Missouri has a good testimony. I think people like Ted Cruz. There are people out there. Oh, Jim Jordan, for example. Okay, these people have. You can tell that they are Christians. By the Bible says that faith without works is dead, but it's their fruits that they've borne. Now here, as we go back here, he says that you should choose one of your... Look, you can't... If you're a Christian, you can't be choosing people like Obama, who's a Muslim, or Omar, who's a Muslim, or people from the synagogue of Satan. I mean, and these are not real Jews. These are the people that Jesus said, those that say they are Jews but are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. And I clearly see that Hillary Clinton and Chuckie Schumer and others would belong in that category. Why? Well, it's because they embrace every abominable thing, everything that God's word calls a sin. They embrace and they promote. Now, We are to choose leaders that are there to lead us, not as the song says, stab us and bleed us. Again, the Biden crime cartel and the Clinton mob have been, well, they've been selling America. They've been selling America out for years to our enemies, and we talked about that earlier. And so, if you think that Joe Biden didn't get some tremendous kickbacks for shutting down our oil supply and gas supply, which caused us all shutting down, he got a major kickbacks. You can bet that. That's how. All you have to do is take a look at his network. And he didn't make that money as a senator or vice president. And so here, he goes on to say, and you shall, not, but again, he says, but he shall not multiply horses to himself, nor cause the people to return to Egypt. Now, Egypt, returning to Egypt was a pagan land. And the idea about having horses and wives, in other words, making yourself rich while you're in office, off the people instead of serving the people the way he was supposed to do. And with silver and gold, too, it says here. Neither shall he greatly multiply himself silver and gold. That's exactly The ten wealthiest U.S. senators, multi-millionaires, are all Democrats. That tells you something about that, doesn't it? No. And it shall be when he sitteth upon the throne of his kingdom that he shall write him a copy of the law of this book. Folks, they need to be biblically literate. And here, we need leaders that are not only biblically literate, but are inclined to use God's word as a compass to guide them. They should be mature enough as not to be swayed by the heathen left or the rhino right. They should always seek wise counsel from true men of God. They should be known to attend a Bible-preaching, Bible-teaching church. Faithful, never compromise when it comes to the word of God. They shall avoid neglecting God in times of prosperity. And that's what happens to a lot of people, you know. When times are tough and there's things that are rough and they're on their knees, but when things get good, they kind of forget who blessed them, where the blessings come from. And so they need to avoid, too, trying to be lords over their constituents. I want to take you now to one of the, if not the, but one of the most controversial passages of Scripture. And it shouldn't be controversial at all, because Romans 13 means exactly what it says. It means exactly what it says. And let's go take a look at what it says. We go over to Romans 13. Let every soul be subjected to the higher power, for there is no power but of God. Now, some of those, the New Age perversions of the Bible, they've changed those words, there is no power but of government, or there is unto the higher powers, they've changed it to government, be subjected to government. Okay, now here, let's take a look at what this actually says here, Romans 13. The powers that be are ordained of God. Now, folks, to be ordained of God, okay, that means that you are set aside, that God has set you aside for such as this. And so here, we when we take a look at our government, and every now and then I hear somebody say, well, you know, our government's not perfect, but it's still the best that's out there. No, it's not. In fact, to tell you the truth, our government is so corrupted, it is illegitimate. It is not a legitimate government. Our government is not legitimate. It is the word used for illegitimates in the Bible is bastard. We have a bastard government. And he goes on to say, whosoever therefore resists the power, resists the ordinance. Now, when the powers are ordained, that means God has set them aside for his use, that these have been set aside for his use. Who resists the ordinance of God. Now, what is that? Well, that is one of God's laws, the ordinance of God. And that they resist shall receive to themselves a damnation. Now listen here. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Now, you say, well, what does the Bible call good and evil? Well, I can tell you what the Bible calls good. And that's God's laws, God's statutes, God's ordinances, God's commands, God's promises, God's testimonies, God's judgments, God's precepts. You find all of those over in the 119th Psalm. And remember, when God had given us the Noahic Covenant, the divine institution of human government, when God had given us that, he made 5 points very clear. The first point, to whom it was given, and you find that there in Genesis 9, verses 1 through 4, okay? The second point was the purpose, or the intent. The second point was the intent, and the intent was that man was to govern for God. Man was to govern for God. Now, the third point, which is the most important point, it's the purpose. The third point was the purpose. And the purpose, the entire purpose of divine human government, folks, was to preserve the image of God, that being man. This is why by the time you got to Genesis 9, it already said 3 times, for man to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth. Now, the fourth point was the means by which man was to govern for God. And, well, that goes back to what we just said. God's laws, God's statutes, God's ordinances, God's commands, God's promises, God's testimony, God's judgment, God's precepts, etc. Now, here, if you go to the fifth point was that all of those nations that were in compliance with the first 4 points, well, they would be at peace and not at war with God. Well, folks, I got to tell you, I don't know of any nations out there today that are at peace with God. God's not happy with his world. And here again, the entire purpose of divine human government was to preserve the image of God. And now we got a wicked, I mean an extremely wicked, I mean a very, very wicked government out there that want more abortion. They want to kill more children. In fact, they just passed legislation, and I'm thinking, what state was it that they just passed? It wasn't New Jersey. It was Maryland. It was Maryland. They just passed legislation that says now you can wait till a baby's 28 days old after its birth. And you can, anytime up to that, you can kill that baby. You can stab it to death, whatever. You can kill it anyway. Because that legislature in Maryland are made up of wicked people, ungodly, unclean, and wicked people. Now, see, that ungodly, those unclean, and those wicked people, they better know something, and that is this, that they're going to repent or perish. What they did is a very evil thing. What they did was deny the very image of God. And probably one of the reasons they did such a thing is they don't have enough God-fearing, real men of God, pastors in that state of Maryland, to preach heaven sweet and hell hot. But I'm going to tell you, those people in that legislature, unless they repent, they're going to find out more about hell hot than they ever wanted to know. And so here, and if any of you out there have a problem with that, well, you just give me a call and we'll talk about it. But I don't expect to get any calls from any of those state legislators. Same thing that happened in New York. Now, here he goes on to say, he goes on, do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise the same, for he is the minister of God for thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, and that's exactly what those people in Maryland did, and that's what our Democratic Congress does and Senate. It's evil. It's evil. Be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain, for he is the minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. He's talking about people that are legitimate government. That he's talking about legitimate authority. Legitimate authority. All legitimate authority comes from God. Ministers are ordained by God. You'll notice what they've done. They've changed that in the New Age Bible versions when it refers to, for he is the minister of God. They've changed that to servant. Well, you say, well, Pastor, isn't a servant and a minister one of the same? Well, all ministers are servants, but not all servants are ministers. There's a big difference. And remember, God even uses to accomplish his task, he sends out lying spirits like he did with Ahab. Demons, and even Satan himself is limited by God's authority, what he can do. And so here, you see, God is in control. He uses these for his righteous sake. Now he said, wherefore you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. In other words, if it's a legitimate government in compliance with God's word, then you need to obey it, not just because you're afraid that you'll be punished if you don't, but you need to obey them because you're to love God and honor God and wanting to please God. And so here, folks, like I'm telling you, Romans 13 says exactly what it means. That's why they have all of these New Age versions, and that's why the prissy preachers are just too afraid to preach it the way it is, because they fear government more than God. For this cause pay you tribute also, for they are God's ministers. There you go. There's that word again. Attending continually upon this very thing. Now these, again, we're talking about legitimate. This, what he is referring to is legitimate government. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due, and fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor is due. It's a horrible sin to give honor to a wicked person. And what are some of those ways that you give honor to a wicked person? Well, by voting for him. By voting for him. Now, often people will use over in 1 Peter chapter 2, they will use this passage to try to justify not having the courage to stand up against a wicked government. And they use this verse here, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. Now listen, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. For the Lord's sake. Now let me ask you folks something. Does God ever tell men to do evil? Does God ever tell men to do evil? He's telling you, you submit yourself to ordinance of men when it's in compliance with God's righteous laws. Again, God's statutes and ordinances and commands and promises and testimonies and judgments and precepts. When you do that, then you're doing that for the Lord's sake. Whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for punishment of evildoers and for the prize of them that do well. Again, you have to go back to what God's word, the Bible, teaches. Folks, we are to obey God rather than men. We are not to be conformed to this world. And what's happened is too many of them in the pulpit have become conformed to this world. Boy, do we see that, I can tell you. I was absolutely amazed, just totally amazed at how easily Some of these churches capitulated and closed their doors. There was a total lack of discernment and understanding for when it comes to this COVID. A lot of them never reopened. Why? They obeyed man and not God. God makes it very clear in the Old Testament. He tells you to make sure that your feet find a path to the house of God. In the New Testament, he says to make sure that you do not forsake the assembling of yourself together in the house of God. Remember, with Peter and Paul and all of the apostles, they were thrown in jail. Why were they thrown in jail and persecuted? Because they were holding church services. They didn't want them to hold church services. And so the UBF, Unregistered Baptist Fellowship, they were all in agreement. We're not going to close our doors. We're going to stay open. We're going to obey God. And they stayed open. In our area, we were one of the only ones that never closed down. We didn't do anything with those masks because we had discernment. We understood right from day one that those masks were absolutely totally worthless when it come to stopping a virus. Even before we were aware of the research that was done, and we had people on the boxes of those masks. And I just happened to have a case of those things that were left to the church by Dr. Parker, those surgical masks. And on the box, the very same mask that they were handing out there, on the box, it tells you, these masks will not prevent or stop any virus. So it tells you right on the box. And now, but I tell you what they did do, they found out that in those, a lot of those masks, the plastic fibers are found in a number of people. In fact, I have an article we did that those fibers, plastic fibers, fiberglass and whatever too, was found in the lungs of a lot of people. And it's just unbelievable. And so, but people didn't listen. Now, I want to go over to here for a minute to Proverbs 31. And in Proverbs 31, we read, the words of King Lemuel. That was Solomon, by the way, the prophecy that his mother taught him of my vows. Now, his mother was Bathsheba, and she dedicated Solomon to the Lord before he was even born. She says, give not thy strength unto women, nor the ways to that which destroyeth kings. In other words, a bad woman could take a good man down. And it happens all the time. And as we get closer to the Lord's return, as we get deeper into the apostasy, the character of women have been diminished. They've been diminished greatly. You go out on a beach just about anywhere, and you see these women, not just the young girls, but older women, with showing their entire rear end. And some of them, they're going topless down there. And again, like I said, today you've got these what they call hot wives in open marriages. And this is causing a tremendous amount of divorce, folks. And of course, remember, the second shortest verse in all of the Bible is God hates divorce. God hates divorce. Now, here, he goes on and says, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, nor for princes strong drink. Okay, in other words, he's telling them, see, remember, Solomon often referred to himself as the pastor, the shepherd. He referred to himself as their pastor and their shepherd. And pastors and shepherds were forbidden to drink strong drink unless it was for medicinal purposes. And so here, for it's not for kings. Well, he says, let us, well, I'm going to stop right there and just tell you this, folks, okay? All of these things that are happening out there, none of you, if you're biblically literate, should be surprised. It's exactly as it was described in God's Word, the Bible. Exactly. We're seeing, we're living in a day, and it couldn't be more clear. 2 Timothy chapter 3 tells you, it actually comes and it tells you in the last days, which shows you how close, and then it gives you a whole list of the characteristics of men. And we see that today, exactly the way it said it would be. I just can't understand how anyone could be around alive today, hear the gospel being preached, and not understand, not see what's happening all around them. Well, in a way I can, and that is this, that there's a mindset, an idea among people that if they don't acknowledge something, it can't happen. If I don't acknowledge this, well, if I just don't acknowledge God, then I won't have to stand judgment for my life. And so they just want to pretend like it's not there. But see, down deep inside of them, God has installed us, and they know they got. They know that they should be. And so I guess the answer is found in Romans chapter 7. But if you're listening to me out there tonight, it's this way. If you have not accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He is the only way of salvation. He's the only way. There is no other. Then you're walking on a tightrope over a lake of fire. What you need to do is as soon as you possibly can, do exactly what the Lord Jesus said. Pray to the Father. Seek repentance. Repent of your sin. Repent of your sin. Acknowledge the fact that, as Pastor Hal always says, you're a dirty, rotten, low-down, stinking sinner. You need to acknowledge that. And you need, because if you go and you ask God for forgiveness, if you're sincere, if you're in your repentance, He will be forgiven. And then you call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there's only one name under the sun by which you could be saved. And if you do that, He's the one that took your place on that cross. He died in your place. If you do that, God will honor that, and you will become a new creature, a born-again believer, a child of the kingdom. And when that happens, you will be indwelt by the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And you will be on your road to immortality. And you will have a mansion waiting for you, built by the designer and the builder of the universe. And folks, God's Word, the Bible tells you. He tells you that we'll be walking on streets of gold. God is able to do. He has absolutely no shortages of being able to do anything. So we're out of time for tonight. So as we do every night at this time, we say good night, God bless, and always, always, always keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.